All right. Is everybody ready to continue with our building project?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be on part two of Constructing Your Life for Victory. Today we're going to talk about laying the foundation. Laying the foundation. Let's start with the overview, and then we'll look at our key verses that we're dealing with. Overview. Wisely build the house of your life solidly on the Word of God to be victorious over the storms of these end days. Be a wise builder. From Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And let's look at Luke 6, 46 through 49, which is Luke's version of the same incident, hearing Jesus teach. And he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and doeth them." Notice that first phrase, that first verse we read, it says, "and do not the things which I say." So he's saying now, therefore, come to me, hear my sayings, and do them. And I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We need to prepare our lives, our houses, the houses of our lives, for the coming storms, especially these end day storms. It's going to be a generation like no other, the scripture tells us. And just as David served God in his generation, obeyed God in his generation, so we need to do the same thing in our generation. Prepare for the storms coming in this generation. Use God-given construction materials, construction methods, and tools. And the key to this whole thing is to be a hearer and a doer. And we covered that in depth last time that we met. Last time we talked about the beginning of the project of building this house of our life. We talked about the importance of rendering the plans, of having a vision, a big vision. What is it that God wants from us? And we talked about the importance then of understanding where God is taking us, understanding what we want our life to look like from the Word of God, and then developing the floor plan from that. And from that, now we have our plans. What is it that we're trying to do? What is it we're trying to accomplish? We talked about the importance of having to go deep, to go high, to have a solid relationship with God and His Word, and God through His Word, so that we are going deep in Him, because the deeper that we build that bedrock. The deeper we go down, remember it says in Luke how the man digged deep looking for that bedrock of the Word of God. We need to do that same thing. The deeper we go, the higher that we can go. In other words, we can build that dream home of our life when we go deep. Then we talked about the tools that we need, acquiring the tools, confessing our sins regularly, speaking the Word of God over our life, being a hearer and a doer. We talked about prayer. We talked about we talked about communion as a daily reminder for all that is that Jesus has done. And then we talked about preparing the site. In other words, digging down, clearing off the debris so that we can build our house solidly on the pure Word of God. We can't have any gravel and sand and dirt that will interfere with building our house on that solid rock. We want to build it on the solid rock of the Word. We talked about setting the cornerstone because Jesus is the cornerstone of our building. Everything lines up to Jesus, His Word, His authority, and that's why it says we are to hear His Word and do it. It all lines up to Him when we build our house. So now we've got the plans, the site is prepared, and so now it's time to start laying the foundation. The first thing we want to notice that the foundation is the foundation. Everything rests upon the foundation, which rests upon the rock, the solid rock, the bedrock. See, the foundation draws its strength from the rock. In other words, the better that the site is prepared, the better the foundation will rest upon it securely. So the foundation draws its strength from the rock that it's set on. But the building itself, which we're going to start talking about next week, constructing that building, the building itself draws its strength from the foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, a solid foundation with everything in it that is needed, then your structure is going to be at risk. So our life is built on the foundation. The foundation of our life is built on the rock. It rests on the engrafted Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to look more at this scripture next time, but I want us to pull out a couple of scriptures here from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. It's always nice when the scripture has all these great illustrations that we can draw on. And so here Paul's talking about being a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth upon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we build our foundation on Jesus. Now, what does that mean? What did Jesus tell us? He said, first of all, if you're going to build, be a hearer and a doer of the word. In John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, he who loves me will keep my commandments. So building our house with the foundation of Jesus is going to involve that we continually are hearing and doing the word. It's one of our tools that we use. Another thing to realize about the foundation is that it is immovable and unshakable. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3, he says, a man shall not be established by wickedness. In other words, that's not going to be a solid foundation, wickedness. Going on, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. So we want to build a foundation, have a foundation that is immovable. In Psalm 16, verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right, he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. So we set our lives on the solid foundation, and that foundation causes our life not to be moved. In Psalm 112, the psalm of the righteous man, the one who has his heart and his mind set on God, it says, surely, verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid. So we need to realize that the foundation we are building, when we build it on God, when we build it on the rock of his word, is immovable and unshakable. Building codes and inspections avoid impatient and shoddy work. In thinking about the foundation, it is got to be the foundation. My dad told me this story, terrible story. Back when he was growing up, and he was very observant of this because he was really interested in this kind of stuff, but a man across the street from where my dad grew up, this man had bought four lots, and his intention was to build four houses on those four lots. So what he did, he started the first one. He, you know, got it all graded and everything. He put in the forms for the foundation, put in the rebar. Everything was just the way it was supposed to be. He called the city. They sent out the inspector. The inspector looked at it and said, great, signed off on it. So then the next day, the man went in there, removed all the rebar, poured the foundation. Then he started building the second house. Did the same thing. Took the rebar he had taken from the first house, put it in the second house, and called the inspector. Inspector came out and said, wow, very nice. Signed off on it. The next day, takes all the rebar out, pours the foundation, starts building the third house. And you know where this is going, right? Now, whether he left it in the fourth foundation, I don't know. But he maybe had another house somewhere else he was building. But anyway, that's what you call shoddy work. Now, people, when they go to build a foundation, you know, you're going to build a house, one of the things you've got to look at, and we did kind of a little bit last week, is the budget. Well, you know, instead of pouring a 4-inch or maybe a 6-inch foundation, you know, you could save a lot of money and a lot of time just pouring a 2-inch foundation. So you can go in there, you can pour that little 2-inch foundation, and it looks good from the outside. Think, wow, that's great. And look at all the money I saved and the time. I didn't have to let it cure so long because it's just a little piece of concrete. So that's why building codes and inspectors were set up, right? Building codes. We know what it is that the word requires of us. But, you know, we have inspectors. Those that inspect the foundation that we're building of our life. They're called pastors. They are building inspectors. Let's look at a couple of issues related to these building inspectors. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? That means the saints aren't perfect. That means you're starting to build your life in the wrong way. The foundation is through impatience or whatever is not being done correctly. And so they look at your life and they say, oh, no, we got to do something different here. Let me show you how to perfect your life. for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Pastors are inspectors. Paul talks about that even further in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's talking about how he was with them and how he was trying to help them and encourage them. And he gives the impression when you first read it that he's really trying to be tender with them and not be real harsh in the way that he was trying to help them to grow. But if you look at verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So you can see he's trying to be gentle here. Earlier it says that he was like a father trying to encourage and build up his children. And he says, go on to verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. Notice those words he used there. He's exhorting. He's encouraging them. He's saying, hey, this is the way you do it. This is the way you build your house. He's exhorting them. He's comforting them. He's trying to cheer them up. You know what? You can do it. You can do it. I know you can. Just do it this way. This is the way it's done. And so the pastors are to be that one that is the inspector. So when they come to you and they say, hey, you know, you're being a little shoddy in this area. You know, you're being a little bit impatient here. You need to do this a little bit differently. We shouldn't look at him and say, hey, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I'm a construction guy, and I know what I'm doing. No, we need to look at him and say, hey, you know what? The inspector is not signing off on my report. So maybe I better go back and take a look at it, make some changes. Now, one thing that's nice about a life versus building a building is it's easy to go back and to make those changes. You know, when I first came to ABC, I had been a Christian for 30 years, and I had been learning the Word of God. I had been a hearer of the Word. I knew the Word. I'd studied. I went to Bible college. I went to seminary. I knew the Word, and it was a part of my life. I spent a lot of time reading the Word. But when I came to ABC, I began to find out, and I kind of knew this, that the foundation wasn't really there. It's like I knew things, but I didn't really know them. And I understood that that was a deficit in my life. But coming here to ABC, getting involved here, hearing not just what the Word says, but the application of that Word to my life, began to change me. And I was able to rebuild the foundation. So that over the years, in being exposed, plus the teaching and studying and everything that I've had to do, I have rebuilt foundations in my life. Now, there may be a few things that he may not be ready to sign off on yet, but it's a lot better than it was when I came here, 14 years ago now. So, we have a building code, and we have inspectors that show us how to build our life solidly, because we want a life that is built solidly. So when we are doing the foundation, we don't want to be shoddy about it or impatient. Going back to that story about that man. Now, I want you to notice what he did. Obviously, he was immoral and ungodly in the way he was doing this. But when the inspector came back and looked at the second foundation to sign off on it, he saw the first one, and it looked really good. And I'm sure that the man was talking about how he had done all this work and laid this foundation. What he was doing was he was deceiving. Are you hearing me? He was deceiving the inspector. You know, it's easy to come to church and put on our happy face, say, you know, pastor says, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. Oh, doing great. You know, praise the Lord. This kind of stuff. But underneath, we know we got some challenges. We got some things we need to work on. But in front of the inspector, you know, we're very nice and kind And I've experienced this. People sometimes don't want to hang around me, it seems like, because, well, that's the pastor, you know, or they change their behavior when they're around the pastor, right? We've experienced that kind of stuff. But we, in building our house, have got to be careful about that, because the inspector is there for a reason, to make sure the house is built right, to make sure that foundation is solid, so that your life can stand and not be shaken, not be moved when the storms of life come. Don't deceive the inspector. Don't deceive. If he points out something, don't try to sugarcoat it and make it seem okay. Say, you know what? You're right. I need to work on that. So don't deceive the inspector. The foundation also sets the structural integrity and the use of the house for the future. So when you're planning your foundation, you need to set everything in place, which, now going on to letter C, focus on the details so nothing is left out. Actually, before I go there, I do want to read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is, again, Paul using another analogy related to construction. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the word of God, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. We read that last time. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So here we see the foundation being built, but it's got a use, it's got a purpose, and that is for us as the temple of the Holy Spirit to be built up as together as a church, to be that habitation for God, to be a structure that is a habitation for God. So when we are building our life, we need to look at what we want in it, what we want in the building, because we've got to look at the use of it, but we've also got to look at the structural integrity that goes along with that. So now let's focus on the details so that nothing is left out. What I mean by this is, if you're going to have plumbing in your house, you've got three bathrooms, just using that analogy, we got three bathrooms that you're wanting to put into the house. Well, if you don't plan it out before you pour the foundation and make sure you've laid all your piping, your hot water, your cold water, your sewer, all that kind of stuff has got to be put in place and graded and everything so it works properly. That's all got to be done before you pour the foundation. You know, what you thought, if you don't do that, what you thought was going to be a water closet, a bathroom, now is just going to be a plain old closet because now there's no plumbing in it, right? So you've got to make sure, now what is it I want, how do I want my life to look like? What is it going to be built like? So we need to put in the things in the foundation of our life that will show us and allow the use of it in the future. So our plumbing, our electrical, all those kind of things. But here's one important aspect. Now, I realize that this is a little bit old technology, but this is the way they used to do it. That is, about every 4 feet or so around the foundation, or the exterior walls of the foundation, they would put in anchor bolts in the foundation. They usually had a hook or a curve or something on the end of them, and they were about a 3/4 inch thick or so, and had a big bolt. You put a big bolt on top. They had threads. So you put these about every 4 feet around the exterior of the house and any load-bearing walls in the house. And you've got to have these set in the foundation, because that's what connects the foundation to the structure. If you don't have that, you've just got the structure. So if you accidentally leave out the bolts, you got this beautiful foundation. It looks really nice. It's all nice and smooth, you know. But all of a sudden, you realize it is completely unusable It won't hold anything because it doesn't have those bolts, those things that connect the foundation to the structure. So we want to make sure that we are putting the things that allow for the structural integrity of the property, of the building in our life. And we do that by planting, making sure that those things are deep into that foundation. So what are some of these things we're looking at? So these are some just real basic things. I'm sure we could add a lot more things to these. Many of those things that you're maybe thinking about is probably going to end up being in the structure because we still have a house to build. We're just still on the foundation, right? So first of all, one of the keys is an understanding of the gospel. What is the gospel? What is it that Jesus has done for us? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So therein is the righteousness of God. We have been made the righteousness of God. What does that mean? That means that when we come to Him and believe, that means all of our sins have been wiped out. That means that His Spirit has come and regenerated our spirit. It means that we are now new creatures in Christ. Everything has changed. Everything is new. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of our sins have been forgiven. And that becomes a very important part about the gospel. Because many times we don't believe what Jesus has really done. We don't believe that all of our sins have actually been forgiven and forgotten. God is not holding those against us, and we shouldn't hold it against ourselves either. Paul went around persecuting the church. He did bad things. People were killed because of him. But he says, "I have wronged no man." How can he say that? Because Jesus forgave him. It was over. It was done. So forgive yourself. It is a basic foundation. Because if you allow the evil one to come back and to start working on you. "Yeah, but you did this. And how? What kind of Christian do you call yourself? You did that terrible thing. You hurt that person so badly. You know, you committed this sin. You got a divorce. You had an abortion. You know, whatever it might be. You know, you used to sleep around. You took drugs. You know, all these kind of things that the evil one can bring back and try to make you feel less than who you are as a son of God. The gospel is a basic foundation that we have got to have in our lives, that we know who we are in Christ, which goes right on to the next thing, our identity in Christ. We've got to know who we are in Christ, that we are a son of God. I want us to look at a scripture in Philemon. There actually is a book in the Bible called Philemon. And has anybody read Philemon recently? No, okay. Well, it's about time you do. Okay, we're going to at least read one verse of it. You can read the other 24 verses when you have time. Okay, verse 6. Well, we better start in verse 5. So now you're going to get two verses. Okay, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, full of energy, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." So part of our identity with in Christ is acknowledging all the good things that is in us because of what Christ has done. We are complete in him. He has done an amazing work in us. The glory of God resides in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so when we acknowledge those things, it gives us effectual power in prayer, in ministry to others, because we know who we are in Christ. It's a basic foundation of walking in Jesus Christ, of walking and building our life on him. We've talked about that we are a son of God. We are a new creature in Christ. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Goes back to what the gospel teaches us. As we believe him, we've been made the righteousness of God. And we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. So this is who we are. And this is just a partial list. It's much more exhaustive than this. But that's who we are in Christ. And these understandings of who we are in Christ needs to get down into our core value. That's how it becomes the foundation. And we do that by hearing it, by believing it, by acting on it. We get it into our core value. Another basic foundation is understanding our salvation package. Salvation is more than just going to heaven. Important part, the best part, we have a relationship with God, we get to go to heaven. But here on earth, it means so much more. It means the word itself, sozo, translated salvation, means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to be well, to do well, to be made whole, to make whole. I love this scripture in Hebrews 7:25. Where Jesus, or the author of Hebrews, says about what Jesus did for us. And he said, "Wherefore, because of the sacrifice that Jesus paid, he is able to save them to the uttermost." There's that word, sozo. He is able to save. He is able to deliver, to protect, heal, preserve, all this. He's able to do these things to the uttermost, to those that come to him, or come to God through him. So he is able to save us to the uttermost. We have got to understand our salvation package, what it is that Jesus has done for us. These are things that protect us so that when storms try to come, we say, no, we know who we are in Christ. I know what he has done for me, and I am not going to be moved. I know my God, and I know what he has done for me. I will not be moved, no matter what the circumstance looks like. Another basic foundation is the armor of God. The armor of God is to withstand all the attacks of the enemy. Most of us are familiar with this, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Let me just run through it real quick from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The basic thing is that Paul tells us to put on all the armor of God, the entire peace, all the pieces of the armor of God, to put them on so that we can withstand in the day of evil. So these are important foundational things for us to be able to stand. We have the belt of truth, which affects our spirit. We understand that the truth is releases the life of God into our life. The breastplate of righteousness, which corresponds with our heart, the understanding that righteousness, the fact that we are the righteousness of God, protects our heart. Our heart is an important part of our being, because the heart is what controls the release of the power of God into all the rest of our lives. So it's important that our heart is protected, that our heart is set on God, singly and wholly set on him. So that when we hear the word and we believe it, when our life is founded on that, on the word of God, and we hear it, we act on it, that is our heart responding to the word of God. It opens up our heart so that the power of God can come out of our spirit and affect what we need it to affect. Next is our feet shod with the gospel of peace. It has to do with our soul, the direction of our life. And so we learn to learn the gospel, learn what the word says in order to be able to minister it to others. The next one is the shield of faith has to do with our mind. It's belief in God's word to protect your mind from the enemy so that when, because we know God's word, that shield of faith protects us from those fiery darts when the evil one tries to bring a thought into our mind. We say, wait a second, that's not the word of God. That's not right. And that shield of faith protects our mind. Going on now to the helmet of salvation. Primarily has to do with our body, that we understand our salvation package and it results in healing for our body. And then the sword of the Spirit, our words. By speaking the word of God, we create our world the way that we want our world. And prayer for the saints, our works. Our first priority is prayer for ourselves and for others. Now, number five, I want to talk about the eight foundation stones. Now, one thing that's nice about this particular scripture is that there doesn't seem to be a name for these eight things that he talks about here. So I'm giving it my own name. Now, Peter called them these. He said, these things, he mentioned about three times. He says, if you do these things, and he says, I'm writing to you to remind you about these things. So another way of saying that these are the eight these things. So, but I like foundation stones better. So let's take a look at that in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. First of all, notice that. Giving all diligence. So this is not a haphazard, a shoddy work thing. This is giving diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Faith, of course, is a deep confidence and trust in God and His Word. Being able to put the full weight of our being on Him. So to our faith, we add virtue. Virtue being moral excellence or righteousness that we have in our mind that we are going to do things right. Virtue. Faith and virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is the intimate understanding of God, His Word, and His ways. There's only one way to build that kind of knowledge, and that is to spend time in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. We're going to talk about more about that in a few minutes. To your knowledge, add temperance, self-control, and moderation in every area of life so that when we know what the Word says, we can step out on it. Our life is controlled so that we can implement the knowledge into our life. And then temperance, we add to temperance, patience. Patience, confidence in God that joyfully endures no matter the challenges. A confidence in God, it kind of goes back to our trust, our faith. And to our patience, we add godliness. Godliness is the outward manifestation of the righteousness of God in us. So we walk and act in godliness, letting the righteousness in us come out. And then to godliness, add brotherly kindness. Be focusing on the well-being of others. And then to brotherly kindness, love, so that we are a loving and forgiving person. These are eight foundation stones. Now, let's go on and read more about these foundation stones. Verse 8, for if these things be in you, see, there's those these things, right? If these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, there's that thing, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And so they are solid foundations for our life. That's why I'm calling them the eight foundation stones of our life. And if we are doing these things, and they are abounding, in other words, it's cyclical. So it's not just you faith, you know, go through it once. It's a constant thing of building up all eight of them. If these things are in you and abounding, growing and increasing, they are abounding, then you can accomplish everything that he has called us to. And then look at verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How would you like to go up in the rapture, and when you're on your way up, all of a sudden this big red carpet flurls out in front of you because you're getting the grand treatment, because an abundant entrance is being made for you because you're walking like this. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I'm sure just seeing Jesus will be enough. But he will welcome us with open arms, because we are the glorious church. These things are abounding in us, and because they're abounding, we're accomplishing the work of God, and an entrance is made, an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom. Amen. So these are foundations that we need to build our life upon. Okay, let's go on now to letter D. Give the foundation strength. Now, going back to that man that kept taking the rebar out of the foundation. Now, that house that he then built on those foundations, they probably lasted for a while. You know, this was back, I would say, probably at least in the mid to late 30s. I bet by the time it got to be around, you know, after the war, maybe the late 40s or the 50s, some things started happening. Maybe there was a little earthquake or something, and all of a sudden, this big crack starts showing up in the kitchen. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? Or over time, the foundation began to crumble around the edges with water and heat and all the stuff that was going on, and it starts to crumble around the edges. Well, why is that? Because it had no strength. The rebar that would have given the foundation strength was removed. And so now it's just there, and it needs that rebar for strength. So what is it that gives strength to that foundation so that our foundation doesn't crumble? We don't want it to just look good. We want it to do what it's supposed to do. We want the foundation of our life to be solid so that it will take us through those storms, so that we can be unmoved and unshaken when the storms of life come, when the storms of these last days are threatening. So one thing is the rebar of reading, studying, speaking, and doing the Word. I'm coming back to the Word. I can't stress this enough. Our lives are built upon the foundation of the Word, of being a hearer and a doer. And that doesn't stop any time in our life. We have to continue to be strengthening our life by reading, studying, speaking, and doing the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, a scripture that a lot of us are familiar with, that we are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. We need to be growing in the Word from milk to meat to strong meat. These are scriptures we've all looked at before. See, it's the strong meat that we want to get to by having our senses exercised because we are in the word of righteousness and practicing and doing the word of God so that we can discern good and evil in these last days. We've got to be able to see a situation, see a person, hear a story, and know, is this of God or is this not of God? It says in Matthew 24 that there's going to be Christs, people that come up and call themselves a Christ, and they're going to deceive many by with their signs and their wonders and all the amazing things that they'll be able to do. And it says, but don't listen to them, don't follow them. It even says, even the elect, it's possible that even the elect could be deceived. Well, what's going to keep us from being deceived in those things is the Word of God, the strong meat of the Word, and exercising our senses so that we can discern good and evil, so we can know the voice of God, we can know the ways of God, so that when a situation comes up, we can look at it and we say, you know what? I'm not giving into this. I'm not, that's not right. Something is off here, and I'm not going that direction. That gives stability to our life. It gives strength to the foundation of our life when we know the Word of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and continually practicing that by speaking in tongues a lot. And then a fourth thing that gives strength to the foundation of our life is the consecration of all you are, all you have, and all you will be. Romans 12:1, to be a living sacrifice. If things aren't consecrated in our lives, it gives the evil one an opportunity to shake things, to bring things up, to have situations and people and events cause us to question. If everything is consecrated to the Lord and nothing is held back of our lives, of the lives of others, our family, all that we have, all that we are, all that we could be, if those things are consecrated to Him, it gives a strength to our life that the evil one can't get in there and have inroads to cause our foundation to become crumbled and to decay. So we need to add strength to our life by consecrating all that we are and all that we have. So now, what are some recommendations for phase two of the construction? Number one, keep using the tools that are in your tool belt regularly. And we talked about the tools earlier. We discussed them in depth last time. So keep using the tools. Remember, the tools are a lifestyle. Confessing our sins and praying and having communion. Doing the word. Number two, write out fundamental items that you need to add to the foundation of your life. If you looked at these things and said, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't really understand it, that would be a good thing for you to start doing some studying on. Studying on your own. Go back to some of our notes from Healing School, from School of Dominion, on the armor of God, etc. We've done a lot of teaching on these kind of things. You need to learn it. You need to get it. All these things need to be part of our core value system. Number three, increase the time you are spending in God's Word on a daily basis, reading, studying, speaking, and doing. So look for ways to increase that. If you're spending 10 minutes a day, then make it 12 minutes and so on, and increase it so that you are spending time in God's Word. Again, it's not going to happen if you're not spending time. And then number four, determine what areas that you need more consecration. Amen. Build the foundation of your life solidly. Amen. Solidly. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.